This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know that music. Everybody knows that music. Only an idiot wouldn't know that that is Ray Fittipaldo's music from Everybody Loves Raymond. Ray's brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years, lgkg.com. I'm, of course, making fun of myself. I didn't recognize that music. Ray, good Friday afternoon. Good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Thanks for hopping on. I appreciate it. It's actually, I'm excited that we get to talk today because I have a question that you would know better than anybody and one that I struggled answering a little bit in my chat yesterday. Somebody was asking me about an offensive line gelling. We hear that a lot and what goes into that, where it plays out. So I'm going to ask this first. What does it take for an offensive line to quote unquote gel when you hear like that group needing to come together? What is required to make that happen?
I think reps, and I think more importantly reps in games. And I think that's one advantage really that Steelers offensive line should have this year. If you take Troy Fautanu out of it, all of those guys who are going to be starting are coming back and play together for an entire year. And then you put Fautanu back in there, who got reps with all those guys last summer, and it should be a pretty seamless transition. So, you know, that offensive line should be much better than it was last year. I think there were some, some hope at the end of the season that, you know, things were getting better. But they need to be consistent for an entire season. And I think the fact that they played together pretty much for an entire season last year should help out a lot this year.
Now, when you have an offensive line that is gelled, do you notice that more pre-snap and how you like identify things and set up? Or is that once the ball is snapped and sort of like reacting to the guy next to you?
Yeah, maybe it's everything. And,
okay.
Yeah, and listen, it's going to be a little bit different this year because you got Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be, you know, setting the protection along with Zach Frazier. And I thought Zach did a really good job last year. But, in Zach's own words, he didn't feel comfortable or completely comfortable, I don't think, until about halfway or three quarters of the way through the season. So the pre-snap snuff should be really good this year with Zach having that year under his belt. And then, of course, you know, the chemistry, once the snap goes, double teams, up the linebackers, things like that. That's the type of stuff that you really have to get reps for. And, you know, I think all those guys playing together last year, that should be much better in 2025.
Pump and Joe Show, the guys are out. Jason Mackey in for both of them. Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette joining us right now. You can obviously read his stuff at post-gazette.com. Follow him on Twitter or X at RayFit1. Ray, so ESPN put out its off-season grades. You probably have seen this. They're stealing your thunder, by the way. That's your report card, but that's a separate conversation. If you would put a grade on the Steelers off-season as a whole, what would it be?
Man, I'd have to go B- or C+, just because, Jason, I don't have any idea about how some of these acquisitions are going to work. You know, how is Aaron Rodgers at age one, turning 42 during the season, how is that going to pan out? How is basically trading Jalen Ramsey for Minkah Fitzpatrick going to work out for that defense? And that defense was bad at the end of the season. But if you look at the defense on the whole over the course of the entire 2024 season, Jason, statistically, it was really good. So you have to, you know, you have to have some concerns that Jalen's going to be ready to hop in there and, you know, gel with that defense so that defense can help them win some games early in the season. So, you know, they added some star power, but I'm not entirely sure how that star power is going to coalesce, you know, into a team in 2025. That's the big question as we get set to enter training camp here in about 12 days or so.
I can't believe it's that close. My goodness. So Jalen Ramsey, ask a follow-up on that. How is he going to work out? What's your expectation in terms of role? Is it TBD? Is that something they're going to have to figure out during training camp? Like, what's your assumption at this point?
I'm sure they discussed that, you know, during the trade talks, and, you know, Mike and Terrell Austin and, you know, Gerald Alexander probably all had those discussions. But we do know that his versatility was key for the Steelers when they decided to pull the trigger on this deal. So I got to think, Jason, that they are going to move him around the secondary. He'll be somewhat of a chess piece for them as they try to match up with offenses. You know, he's an all-pro corner, or at least at one time in his career he was, but he has experience in the slot, and he's got the skill set to drop back and play safety as well. So, you know, talk about question marks on defense. Do we know right now that Juan Thornhill can step in and be a starter? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Do we know that Beanie Bishop can walk in there and be a competent starter? You know, we saw that for the first half of last season, but Jason, what was the reason they went to Cam Sutton a lot in the second half of the season? So there's a question mark there. So there's still some pieces that they got to figure out in that secondary, but that's what training camp's for. We're going to see how all those guys fit. And I think Jalen Ramsey, obviously you're paying him $20 million for this season. He's going to be a big part of that no matter how it shapes up.
No doubt. And before we get into some superlatives on their offseason, Ray, what is their biggest remaining hole in your mind? Is it safety, somebody to supplement Thornhill? Is it wide receiver? What's the biggest remaining hole here?
Yeah, Jason, I wish I had more familiarity with Juan Thornhill. I know he had some good years with Kansas City, and, you know, there's a lot of talk that his play dropped off in Cleveland. He wasn't out there a whole heck of a lot in the spring, so I honestly don't know what he's going to bring to the table. So I think safety could be something that's really they're going to have to address at some point before September, but there's also number two receiver. You know, I think the acquisition of Jonnu Smith, you know, maybe lessens the likelihood that that's, you know, a prime concern of theirs right now. But when you just look at their receiving core on the whole, do not include tight ends in this discussion, it's DK Metcalf, undisputed number one. And then you got Calvin Austin, number two. And Calvin Austin had a good year last year, but he still only had, I think, 550 yards and four touchdowns. And then right now, Roman Wilson would be your number three, and this guy's never caught a pass in the NFL. So just in terms of receiver depth, I think that's lacking. So, you know, we'll have that discussion in late July, early August. I think it's either free safety or number two receiver. We'll see how it all shakes out.
So three of the categories that ESPN listed were the biggest move, the move you liked, and the move you disliked. I went through this in a column earlier this week, Ray, about the most impactful and the most surprising. I think there's a little bit of redundancy there, so maybe if we get to that, we can scrap the last two. But what do you think the biggest move of the offseason was?
Anytime it's involving a quarterback and a quarterback of Aaron Rodgers' stature, to me, that has to be it. I don't care if he's 41 years old. You know, that guy has been around the block a time or two, and I think – there is belief in that building, and that's why they were willing to wait 2.5-3 months for his decision. There is belief in that building that he could help them get over the top in the playoffs. Now, maybe that's a big leap of faith, and maybe a lot of things are going to work out have to work out in their favor for that to happen, Jason. But that is the belief in the building. That's the guy they wanted after all that stuff with Justin Fields fell through, the second week of March.
What about a move you disliked? Or let's go, a move you liked, Ray.
I like the acquisition of DK Metcalf, and okay. I like getting rid of George Pickens. I think anyone, and you were in that locker room quite a bit, Jason. You know, the whole Pickens dynamic.
It got old, man.
I don't think was, kind of a cancer in that locker room. I think that's addition by subtraction. We'll see how they make up for the numbers, but I think getting DK in here, a guy who's a pro, a guy who is probably more of a team player. I think I like that move, but because you also look at how long they've been trying to get that number one receiver in place. You know, they had the whole dance with Brandon Ayuk last year. They couldn't close the deal on that. So finally they at least have their number one receiver, and, you know, we'll see who steps up as number two. But, you know, for right now, I think the acquisition of DK Metcalf, and that was the first thing they did, so they thought it was important. I think that's at the top of my list.
Yeah, it seems about 4.5 years ago right now that they got DK Metcalf the way this offseason has gone. What about one you disliked?
It's hard, Jason, without, you know, seeing how this plays out. And let's not go with dislike. Let's just go with big question mark for me.
Sure.
Jalen Ramsey. Listen, he's on his fourth team now. He likes to talk a little bit. He brings an edge. He brings an attitude. I think that can be good for a defense. But, there's probably a reason why he is on his fourth team as well. So, to me, and we've seen this with Mike in the past, you know, acquiring guys who were high draft picks, you know, 5, 7, 8 years before, Mike always keeps an eye on them and, you know, wants to coach them, and they come at the latter stages of their career. So clearly the whole Minka thing wasn't working out. I'm fine moving on from Minka, but I just don't know how this Jalen Ramsey thing is going to work out. You know, it's basically a 1-year deal. They could walk away from it. And sometimes when that happens, when you're just working on a 1-year deal and you're not committed to it long term, and maybe they will be, Jason, by the time training camp starts, maybe there'll be a new contract or whatever in place. But to me, that's just a little bit of an unknown right now, and I'm not quite sure how it's all going to turn out.
What do you think will be the most impactful move that they made, Ray?
If I had to project through the season, this might be a little bit of a surprise because, again, it's a leap of faith on my part that the offensive line is going to get better than it was last season. But I think Caleb Johnson, and sometimes it's not the biggest move or, you know, the splashiest move, but getting that guy in the third round, as productive as he was at Iowa, and this is important, a guy who fits into your offense. Najee Harris wasn't really a great fit for Arthur Smith's offense, but Caleb Johnson is. So when you add that element of him knowing how to run the outside zone, Arthur Smith knowing how to call it for him, the production at Iowa, I think he's got a chance to come in and, if not be RB1 by the middle of the season, share the workload and have a really nice rookie year.
Last question for Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette, and I love the Caleb Johnson pick. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit here, but so we're talking about the celebrity softball game, which fan host would win in a home run derby. O'Neal Cruz is going to participate in the MLB home run derby on Monday. Ray, have you ever participated in a home run derby, and how did it go?
Not good, because AB used to have that softball game out at Wild Thing Stadium way back when, and I got roped into doing it. And I don't know, I might have had 5 pitches, Jason, and I think all of them or ground balls in the infield. So that's what happens when you don't swing it in 20 years, I guess.
You could get to some cages or something, Ray. Come on, just get some lift on that thing.
I probably should have. I wouldn't have embarrassed myself like I did.
Ray Fittipaldo, thanks so much, Ray. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, Jason, you too.
All right, take care. It's Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Read his work, of course, at post-gazette.com. Follow Ray on Twitter or X at RayFit1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm a little surprised by Ray not faring better in the Home Run Derby. Former offensive lineman at Holy Cross.
Yeah, he's an athlete.
I'm not asking him to go first to third on a ground ball to right field. I'm just asking him to hit some slow pitch softballs out there.
Yeah, get some arc on the ball and hit one out.
That's
or at least
all right.
Hit one to the gap.
Man, it's also the pot calling the kettle black. I would do the exact same thing.
Really? As a former baseball guy, you think so?
I stunk at softball limits. Well, I was okay. I wasn't as good as I should have been. I know that much. You know, as a former baseball guy, and I always disappointed myself playing. So I could never wait.
Yeah, it's a lot
different.
I could
never wait. I was always jumping out in front. Like, if I would play wiffle ball with you, I bet I'd be the worst player on the field because I couldn't. I'd be out in front. I would just, my timing would be a mess.
Yeah, I pull pretty much everything at this point. I used to hit the ball the other way a lot, but the way that I've compacted my swing to be able to get more power, I've pulled just about everything. I've hit the ball up the middle a decent amount this year, too, but I haven't really gone the other way outside of maybe once or twice.
So do people in wiffle ball go? Like, do you have all fields hitters? Do you have home run hitters versus, like, contact guys,
well,
that sort of thing?
My league's different because we use baseball training balls that have holes on either side, and it's a firmer plastic, and we use big barrel bats. So it's crazy because there's a national tournament that's actually coming to Washington next weekend, the NWLA tournament that a bunch of my buddies run. And there's also a tournament in Vermont that we're going to. There's multiple different leagues and everything. Not one league that I've ever seen or talked to, and I've talked to about 20 of them, 15, 20 of them, none of them have the same rules. None of them. Like, everybody has a different rule on something, whether it's their bats, the balls they use, that they run the bases, stuff like that. But back to your question, most people pull the ball. Some people do hit it the other way if they're late on a pitch, mostly if it's just an outside pitch, but most people do pull it.
Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. A lot of our discussion with Ray Fittipaldo centered around ESPN grading every NFL offseason. I want to tell you a little bit about what that article included, and then Limits and I are going to get into some of our own thoughts on all of this, as well as a fairly substantial statement here that ESPN had about the Steelers offseason. So let's get into that. The grade that the Steelers got here, it was about what Ray was thinking. ESPN gave the Steelers a C. I might have gone with a B minus, just a little bit higher, but I understand why it's in that range. ESPN credited the Steelers' biggest move as being Aaron Rodgers, fairly on board with that. Move they liked, earning 4 projected compensatory picks. An interesting selection. I don't necessarily disagree. A move they disliked was trading Minkah Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. I disagree with that. I disagree with their dislike.
Yeah, I would say that that's ultimately a win.
I think so, too.
Now, I do point to something that a texter just sent in to us, saying, I'm a Miami fan for some reason, the texter says.
For some reason.
Yeah, and I listen to the show a lot. Jalen Ramsey was a cancer in the locker room. Hope Tomlin can rein him in. Think Miami got the better deal, but really, we look at the trade as Minkah for Jonnu Smith, and Ramsey is trouble. Another pickings for the Steelers.
Was that texter in the locker room a lot? Was that texter part of the team?
You don't
have that intel.
Right, but we did know that Pickens was trouble. So if we know that Pickens was trouble and we follow the team, I'm sure this guy, I mean, I don't know how much he follows the Dolphins, but if he's saying he's a Miami fan and he keeps up with the team, I would imagine that he knows at least a couple of things more than we do about how
Ramsey wasn't racking up ridiculous fines week after week. Ramsey wasn't continually putting his team in disadvantageous situations. Ramsey wasn't making national headlines for having the F word on his eye black.
Right.
Ramsey wasn't openly quitting on plays, at least not as far as I saw.
No, he wasn't showing up to Christmas Day games late.
Right.
And he,
at least that we know
that
about.
We know
yes.
of. He is an ego. Like, there's no doubt about that. He is a big personality, and he is somebody that I don't know if Tomlin's going to be able to fully rein in, but he's also super talented, and he's more talented than George Pickens at his position.
Yep.
And he's a better player than George Pickens at his position. So, ideally, it works out, and they can move him around a little bit so that if they don't add a safety, it kind of takes away that hole that is left by Minkah.
I mean, show me an NFL cornerback who does not have an ego, right? Like, you have to have an ego to play that position.
Right, but I think it's how large is the ego and where is the ego centered, you know?
The ego should be centered on him. The ego should be centered on him thinking that he is the best player in football. I want that out of a cornerback.
Right, but you also don't want to see your star corner getting into arguments with the head coach. You know, Joey Porter Jr. doesn't do that. Darius Slay hasn't done that. Ramsey and Mike McDaniel.
I don't think Ramsey's
going to
do that with Mike Tomlin. I mean, that's a blessing that I think exists here that we don't even realize. Guys won't do that for Mike Tomlin. I'm not saying all is well. I'm not saying Mike Tomlin's the best coach in the NFL. I'm not Dom, but just kidding, Dom. We love you. I do think that's something that, you know, players walk into that locker room with an instant respect for Mike Tomlin. In a want to do things the right way. I'll take the ego. George Pickens, I don't even know if I would call that an ego. I mean, that's a lot of just immaturity, doing stupid stuff. I want somebody that is me, me, me. You can't beat me. Somebody's going to be yapping at the guy across the field, even if it's in practice, challenging somebody. Great. I want somebody who wants that. I have some doubts whether the Steelers are going to properly utilize Jalen Ramsey. I mean, one of my takeaways or thoughts relative to the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade is he was basically expendable because of how poorly they were using him anyway.
Yeah.
You're going to play somebody 50 yards off the ball and pay him 20-some million dollars a year to do that. That's stupid business.
Okay, let me ask you this, though, Jason. You said that Jalen Ramsey's not going to do that for Mike Tomlin.
Well, not at the start. No, I don't think so.
Not at the start. But, I mean, at some point, I think it's very possible. Like, Pickens did. All the wide receivers here have. James Harrison at the end of his career.
Sure.
Like, we are, I think.
But what do those teams have in common, Austin? They didn't win. There wasn't a good culture created. Like, if this works, if they're able to create a positive culture, Jalen Ramsey's ego is not a problem. It's only a problem when you're a mediocre team. If you're a good team, an ego is a good thing.
Yeah, but do you think this is a good team?
I think it could be. I think it could be a team where egos aren't a problem.
What's a good team?
That's an existential question, but I mean, like, double-digit wins, a team that thinks it's in it, a team that has things going positively and people aren't ticked off going to work.
Like, was last year's team that? Because even with that,
well,
George Pickens
was still
acting up.
Well, last
year's
team had a weird
up.
Trajectory. You know, if you would give me that sum total, like without the really good start and then the really terrible finish, you might say that they sort of met expectations.
Right. Well, Pickens.
But we're not saying that because of how poorly they finished.
Pickens, regardless of what time of year it was still acting like a problem, whether it was the Browns
well,
game in the snow face mask of Jordan Lewis.
Oh, no doubt.
And I'm not saying I'm not that defending George Pickens Jordan. And Jalen Ramsey are the exact same player and the exact same character. I'm not saying that. But I do think that when you bring in someone with the big bravado personality of a Jalen Ramsey, who also does back it up on the field, I'm not going to leave that out at all.
Sure.
Then I do wonder what that could mean for a locker room, because he's also bounced around the league a little bit. And if it wasn't an issue, I feel like he'd stay in one place or at least in two places.
You totally
know, that team would want to keep him around.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
That's why and Pickens is somewhere else.
I'm not saying it's not a concern. I'm not saying that this guy's not just going to be, you know, pumping everybody's tires and be everybody's favorite teammate from the first day all the way through the end of his Steelers tenure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, you have somebody with a bit of an edge to him, and that can be a good thing if you've got a positive team culture and you're winning.
It can be
a bad thing if it's not. All right, so I want to get to this. What I wrote down in my notes is a really damning sentence for the Steelers, and I'm going to read you a passage from this ESPN piece. The most likely outcome of the Rodgers signing is by far is disappointment and a wasted season. The most likely outcome, the Rodgers signing by far, is disappointment and a wasted season. How about that? The most likely outcome is disappointment and a wasted season. That's a lot.
That's the most likely outcome.
The most likely outcome. I don't know if I agree with that,
no,
but I'm going to
continue
just for the time being. But the upside remains, and there's more of it with Rodgers than with any of the Steelers' other realistic quarterback options, which is why the signing made some sense, especially at the extremely cheap cost of Rodgers. But Pittsburgh could have coupled the Rodgers signing with a stronger investment than a sixth rounder in Will Howard in the draft, especially considering how far Shedeur Sanders fell. What?
So
the Steelers could have taken Shedeur Sanders higher?
So
that's what we're nitpicking here?
Fifth round pick Shedeur Sanders is supposed to be the one that saves the day here.
According to ESPN, I don't know if Mel Kiper wrote this.
Well, ESPN is out of its mind. It's out of its mind with that. Really? Shedeur Sanders, the fifth round quarterback? At that point, why not say that Will Howard will just be able to save the day? I think Will Howard's going to end up. How about this take?
Will Howard's going to have a better career than Shedeur Sanders?
Will Howard will have a better career than Shedeur Sanders.
I won't disagree with you.
I think he will.
I'm sure not going to say that the Steelers erred because they didn't draft Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round and turn things over to him. That sounds like what ESPN's trying to say here.
That's ludicrous.
I mean, absolutely not. ESPN goes on to say that one of the criticisms of the Steelers, they lack receivers beyond DK Metcalf.
Well, yeah.
I agree with that. I think that's a completely fair criticism. And they tried to kind of temper expectations with Jonnu Smith, saying he's coming off a career season. He's a good yak guy, but he also had a bunch of mediocre years before with Arthur Smith as his offensive coordinator. I think that's fair, too. I also don't think they're counting on Jonnu Smith to be the guy.
No.
Like, he might be their secondary tight end receiving option. He's going to be a lot different than Pat Freiermuth. He's still going to be a part of the offense, don't get me wrong, but, you know, DK Metcalf should be your primary playmaker. You're going to have Pat Freiermuth. Calvin Austin's going to be in there somewhere. Jonnu Smith's going to play an important part. He's not the only guy.
No, and him and Pat they're different types of tight ends, too. They're different types of receivers and just how they're able to stretch the field.
No doubt. No doubt. So, listener question, we'll put this out to you all. What grade would you give the Steelers offseason, and what are your favorite and least favorite moves? 412-928-9370. As we look to keep the conversation going a little bit, have one call in there. We'll get a few more, I'm sure. My own take, I had some thoughts on this in a column earlier this week. I said the most impactful move is probably Aaron Rodgers, but one that I think is kind of underlying, and Ray Fittipaldo said Caleb Johnson. I really, really like that. So I expanded mine to cheat a little bit. And I said Derek Harmon and the rest of the top of the most recent draft, because I do think Derek Harmon's going to play a very important role for the Steelers. And Caleb Johnson looked excellent in rookie minicamp and OTAs and mandatory minicamp. I also think Jack Sawyer and maybe Will Howard, I don't know, Y.A. Black could do some things along the defensive line. I think the Steelers had a very strong draft, and I think that was an important and will be impactful part of their offseason. The most surprising move for me was certainly Minkah for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. I didn't see that coming. If you said you saw that coming, you were lying. You might have seen Jonnu Smith coming. Maybe they try to pick up Jalen Ramsey some other way. I didn't see him dealing Minkah for those two, though, limits.
Not
absolutely
a chance.
Not.
Not a chance.
No. And if you're saying that they did, no. But one last thing before we get to the phones on how the Steelers are perceived.
Yeah.
This is from ESPN again. Pittsburgh's entire offseason has resulted in an old team trying to take one last swing. It probably won't work. Next year will be the time for a true rebuild. If so, one piece of good news, the Steelers' offseason resulted in projected compensatory picks in the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds per overthecap.com. So what they're telling me is we could have another Steelers team rebuilding. According to ESPN, or we could have another Pittsburgh team rebuilding. We could have the Steelers,
like
the Penguins, and who knows what the Pirates, what you want to call what the Pirates are doing. The Penguins are certainly rebuilding. We're saying the Steelers could be rebuilding too. I can't handle it.
No, that's a lot of rebuilding at the same time.
Stop rebuilding.
You would hope with three teams in the city that one would be really good, at least, while the other two are rebuilding. You would hope.
All right, let's knock off one phone call again. If you want to weigh in on your favorite moves of the offseason or what grade you would give the Steelers offseason, 412-928-9370. In the meantime, let's go out to Martin in Uniontown. Let's talk about Najee Harris. What's up, Martin?
Hey, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, did you hear about Najee Harris? He has an eye injury from a firework. That's what they said on Channel 2.
Yes, we heard about it. What's your point?
Well, the point is, you think it's going to affect him? He might not be able to run or something.
No, he's going to be fine.
He's going to be fine?
That's all of the reported information and what it says, yes.
Yeah, I hope he's going to be all right. Because, buddy, I want to tell you something. When you play around with a firework, you don't know what it's going to do. And I think he's going to be pretty lucky. If after that heals, he's got to be pretty lucky, that's for sure.
All right, man. We got Jason Pierre-Paul 2.0 on our hands with Najee Harris. It's not as serious. I was reading about this morning, and thank you very much for the call, Martin. Appreciate it. He's going to be all right. They're projecting him to be completely ready for week one. It's not going to be a concern. I mean, obviously hope Najee Harris is okay. I didn't like the fit. I was fine with the Steelers letting him walk. I didn't have a problem with them not picking up his fifth-year option. I don't think it was the best fit possible. I admire a lot of things about Najee Harris. Obviously, you don't want anybody getting hit in the eye with the fireworks incident. Sounded fairly scary reading about it. It was near his hometown of Antioch, California. And there were multiple people injured in the incident. It happened a little after midnight on July 5th. It was a superficial eye injury is what it was called. So, I mean, I'll be rooting for Najee Harris with the Chargers. I don't have any ill will toward him, but I am happy with the direction the Steelers have gone. I think Caleb Johnson is a much better fit. I'm curious to see what Jaylen Warren can do. I think their backfield can be a lot better this upcoming season than it was in the last. I think it's a better fit, as Ray Fittipaldo was saying. More guys who are familiar running zone scheme concepts, which is what Arthur Smith wants. And Caleb Johnson wouldn't shock me at all if he wound up being an integral part of this offense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.